Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with me. Thanks for being part of my day, and I know why you're here, because Joan's back in town. Joan's back. Joan Pride, the famous, the infamous, the notorious Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Glad to be back.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too, and Merry Christmas and everything else.
Yeah, tell the audience how much you missed me.
Oh, lots and lots.
Yeah?
Well,
So let's tell them what happened. You moved into your house.
I moved back home. Yeah, very
you,
exciting.
You've had some construction work being done on your house for
right.
some time now. So over the holidays, right. you moved into your house.
Right, and moved How's, mom in too.
Yeah, mom moved in there. Yeah, got all. Yeah. Now everybody's under one roof.
Yep.
Yep. She's the good daughter, ladies and gentlemen. Joan's a good
bet.
Daughter.
I can
tell you that. I can attest to that. And. And then, of course, we had the holidays. You took a little time, a week off of that. And then, you guys, did you go to Miami?
We went to Miami.
Tell them what happened.
Well, the good news is we went to Florida and had a very nice time. The bad news is that my husband's team, the Virginia Tech Hokies, lost in the Orange
yeah.
Bowl.
Yeah, but they did they tried valiantly.
They tried. And the other bad news is they had record cold down there.
Yeah. I mean, what's up with that? You go to Miami and you get cold? What's up with that?
The day we arrived, it was 80. The next day, the high was 50 and the low was in the 40s. And then the next day, the high was in the high was 50 and the low was in the 40s. And then the day we left, the high was supposed to be 70-something.
Right.
So it was just the timing was unbelievably bad.
Right. Well, and folks, just so that, you know, just to maintain my position as the king of Segway, somewhere else, Joan, where it was really cold recently, was up in New Hampshire.
Oh, very good. Well
yeah.
done.
And the candidates, though, some of the candidates did not get a cold shoulder, did they?
Okay. Enough with the metaphor.
I've been
here.
Reading Kiplinger too
That's
long, haven't
enough.
I?
Yeah, it's beginning to rub off. It's scaring me.
But anyway, there were some interesting stories that came out of New Hampshire.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course, we've also had Iowa since you were here too.
In fact, the Iowa caucuses was the same day as the Orange Bowl.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, so what happened? We know Iowa was good for Huckabee, and Iowa was good for Obama.
Right, and for McCain.
And McCain.
Right.
Right. But Iowa wasn't great for McCain, though. It wasn't all that good for McCain. New Hampshire
True.
Was good for McCain.
New Hampshire was terrific for McCain.
New Hampshire right. was good for Hillary.
Yes.
And
was pretty good, given what the it's all about expectations. And the expectations
yeah.
were that she would lose, although I would say a couple months ago the expectations should have been that she would win New Hampshire by a lot.
And Iowa, right? But now here's the thing I'm confused about, Joan. Romney came in second. He hasn't won. He won Wyoming, which people say is not that big a deal.
He calls it silver medal.
Yeah, exactly. But he yeah. won. He came in second in Iowa. He came in second
right.
in New Hampshire. Joan, this race is
Sorry.
Not about winning states. It's about getting delegates. So does he not have more delegates than the other guys who have each won a state?
Well, how do they apportion the delegates in each state? I don't know.
Well, I don't either. But still, it's accumulating delegates and I guess what I'm getting at is if Romney continues to do well in other states and he winds up winning, he'll get McCain's and Huckabee's delegates.
Well, except that I think if he continues not to come in first place, I think the fundraising gets
there
harder.
There you go. There you go. No. It's all about whether you can hold out or not to get some of those
It's
things.
Kind of all about perception more than anything else.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is it really bugs me that we let two beautiful, wonderful little states like Iowa and New Hampshire. I've got friends in both states. They're wonderful people. But
right.
it still bugs me that we let a couple of little states like that have such a determining factor on who's going to be president of the United States. I don't like
That's
that.
That's right. That's right.
Do you agree with me?
No, it's crazy. And it never used to be this way.
Well, it makes no sense. And that, and see, Joan, this is one of the reasons why I actually like the compressed primary, the Super Tuesday, the Super Duper Tuesday. I like that because it brings more states in, into the decision making. What do you
well,
think?
Well, the problem though is then what do we do after Super Duper Tuesday between then and November? We just sit around and
twiddle
our thumbs.
We still got to wait till November. Anyway,
that's my point.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think it's a strange process.
Well, of course it's a strange process. I mean, the whole elections thing is a strange process. I mean, how much sense does it make to campaign for 4 years for something? I mean, that's
right.
Give me a break here.
Yeah.
But Joan, here's a question I have for you. I want to talk about your now you are you're not a, a you're someone who is a little bit to the left of center typically, and you're a woman, you're a professional woman, and I know that you're probably someone who would be in favor of a woman president. You think that a woman could do a good job as a president?
I'm also a reporter, so I try not to talk too much about my political leanings.
I know. But what I'm getting at is, tell us about what you thought about Hillary. What Hillary, the emotional thing that Hillary experienced.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what I thought. I'll tell you what different people.
What do you
said.
Think? Okay.
I think that some people I was just reading a very interesting article about this. When it originally happened, her own staff was horrified and worried that it would play very badly. They didn't know what was going to happen, and because some people liken the moment to the famous Ed Muskie moment when he may or may not have cried in public, which is still up for debate. Why that should have damaged his candidacy, I don't understand. But in fact, it did. It ruined his candidacy. So, but in this case, the spin goes is that it helped women voters see that she was a human being and cause them to vote for her. I'm not saying I believe this is what happened. I'm saying that is the conventional wisdom as to why she won New Hampshire
when the poll said
she was supposed to lose.
But can you tell us, as a woman, how you feel about that?
Well, again, since I'm a reporter, I wouldn't want to really talk about one way or another.
Well, I've asked women that I know who are not, you know, ones, they're not particularly one way or the other in terms of being all that left or right. Maybe they're independents, but it bothers them that's what happened. And of course, as we also know, the woman who asked her the question wound up voting for Obama. I thought that was kind of funny.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that on the internet.
Hold on to that thought, folks. We're going to come back and talk about what President Bush is going to be doing in his lame duck last year in office. He's going to be pretty busy. Joan is going to report on that from the Kiplinger letter right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the man who can't tell time. Welcome back. And we're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, before we leave the election cycle, quickly, they're going to be in Michigan next week, right?
Yes.
And just the Republicans, though, right? I think it's just the Republicans.
I think that's right, yes.
And then the Democrats and Republicans will be in South Carolina. And then Nevada, I think, some in the next few days.
Okay.
And then Florida. And then we'll be moving over to Super Tuesday, I think.
Oh,
I think
that's Super Duper Tuesday.
Well, Super Duper Tuesday is the second one wave, isn't it?
Right.
Isn't there Super Tuesday and then Super Duper?
Well, I thought there was, but then I heard them talking on the news saying that Super Tuesday has now been renamed Super Duper Tuesday, so I don't know what to think. But
I
could be
either.
Wrong. But the interesting thing about the Florida primary is Rudy Giuliani.
Right.
Because he kind of just sort of gave up on the first few primaries, focusing all his energies on Florida. So there's been, and you know, he was leading in the national polls there for a while. And now there's some question as to whether his desire to forego the early states, thinking he wouldn't do well, might actually hurt him because, you know, the media spin is going to be all around McCain now.
It was certainly unprecedented, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And if it turns out that his strategy works, it basically agrees with me when I say You know, it ain't that bad to come in second in Iowa and New Hampshire, especially when you know, when there's not that much of a difference in the percentages. But Joan, the other things that that I wanted to say was about the well, I lost my train of thought. The with Giuliani, he's taking his claim in Florida.
Right.
He'll have to do really well, really quick, won't he?
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah, follow that up with other wins, too.
Right.
And here's a question for you. Okay. Whatever happened to Fred Thompson?
Well, I think Fred Thompson has been a non-issue since October.
I think he has, since he arrived, I think.
Since October, yeah. I've never been so surprised at how little of an impact he's made.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people say he's going to do well in South Carolina, but I don't see any compelling reason to vote for him.
Well,
I haven't heard
especially
anything.
If you're a South Carolinian looking for a quote unquote true conservative, you've got Mike Huckabee,
right.
Who is catching fire. Why would you vote for Fred Thompson?
Exactly. As a reporter, respond to my two predictions that I made this year about the election. I said that Huckabee would be somewhere on the ticket for the Republicans, top or bottom. And I predicted that Bill Richardson would be the vice presidential nominee. What do you think about those
Bill Richardson, who I think just dropped out, which I
he
just
did.
Read today, yes.
He did?
It would not surprise me if Richardson was on the ticket. Huckabee, I think your prediction was pretty visionary, because when you made it, nobody barely knew who Mike Huckabee was. But I just, it'll be interesting to see, because if McCain were to be the nominee, or Giuliani, I just think having Huckabee on the ticket will seem strange.
Well, no, I actually think both McCain and Giuliani would need him. I think he fits a lot of, I think he fits the bill for the Republicans on the bottom of the ticket, for example, the way Richardson fits. But see, Richardson's not going to be the president candidate nominee, but Huckabee actually could be.
Right.
No, you're right. I made these predictions in December before the Iowa caucuses. But anyway, I just was curious about that. But we got another politician, Joan, who's got a little work left to do, don't we?
Mr.
Bush,
the current sitting president, yeah.
Mr. Bush, he's got some
That's
work.
Right.
He still has to finish out his job here, doesn't he?
He sure does.
And he's
right now in the Middle East.
He is. And Joan, what do you think? Is he having some success over there?
In the Middle East?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think it remains to be seen. What do you think?
Joan, I've watched. How many presidents have we seen in the last 20 something 30 years since the 70s try to solve the Palestinian-Israeli issue in the last year of their presidency?
Right.
So we've seen Carter try to do it. We've seen Clinton try to do it, and on. And we've been hopeful before, but there does seem to be some movement. And one of the things, Joan, that I've noticed is apparently Syria is softening in their approach to Palestine.
Wow, that would be huge.
It would be huge. I've read that recently.
And surprising.
Yeah, exactly. So Mr. Bush is trying to solve the Palestinian issue. He's making a whirlwind tour through the whole Middle East over there, isn't he? He's going to be in
right.
the Gulf. He's going to be in the Arabian Gulf this week.
Yes.
That's a big deal. It's going to Saudi Arabia and on. So he's doing all that. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of all that. But he also has got some stuff left to do in Iraq, hasn't he?
Absolutely, he sure does. He still needs to bring that country together.
Right. But it does look like that's starting to happen, doesn't it, John? I mean, the surge is working, it seems, from what I can tell. They're aggressively going after the Al-Qaeda element. Even today, there's a major operation going on over there.
Right.
What's been interesting to me, Joan, about all this, and I predicted for 07 that the Iraqi government would get its act together, but it turns out they didn't, but the people have.
Well, that's interesting.
It's been interesting to me to see how the Iraqi people have been one of the bright spots. Not the government, but the Iraqi people. And so it'll be interesting to see how much of that Bush gets settled down for his own legacy before he leaves office in a year from now.
Right.
Stand by, quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show, all the different ways you can listen to the show, and you can find the archives of all the shows that we've done all the way back to 99 when we started collecting them. By the way, this month is our 10th anniversary of streaming on the internet, simulcasting. We've been on the radio for over 10 years. We've been on the internet simulcasting for 10 years now this month, and so we're kind of excited about that. Don't forget to check out our blog while you're at my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. Lots of stuff you can do there. Everything is free, folks. That's been my model since day one. To whatever we do, whatever we produce, you can have it for nothing. Just show up, and we'll let you hang out with us. Use it to your advantage. If you don't, it's your own fault. And then, of course, our knowledge base is askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. Joan Pride and I are talking about the most recent Kiplinger letter. And Joan, we're talking about the lame duck things that the president's working on right now. The economy, which we need to blend in with your wonderful economic forecasts on page one here, which I love your forecast box there, Joan, that you guys provide every week. It's very informational. But the economy is going to be a tough one for the president, isn't it?
Oh, no question about it.
Have you noticed, Joan, how long has it been since we've had a president where the last year of his presidency had a good economy? Think back, Joan. Carter didn't have a good economy.
Right.
President Reagan had the S&L crisis. Bush had basically a recession where he went from 93% approval rating to losing the election. Clinton, we were in a recession his last quarter in the office. And now we got Bush. Clinton. And so, what's going on, Joe?
Yeah, why does that keep happening? That
Think about
very
it.
Odd.
It is odd, isn't it? And nobody's ever pointed this out but me, Joan, you know?
No one in the history of the universe.
Wow.
That's
exactly right.
I'm amazed.
You got to come to this show to get this stuff.
Yeah.
But you guys make a very important point here, Joan. Very little of what the president's going to do this year involves the Congress.
Well, and you wonder why. You shouldn't wonder why.
Well, that's what lame ducks need to avoid Congress, don't they?
Right, exactly.
Especially if it's an enemy Congress.
Yep.
He's got a Democratic Congress, so but all these things we talked about, he can affect those pretty much without Congress. And but let's talk about this economy that he's leaving us with, Joan. GDP growth, you guys say, is going to be 2% or less for 2008.
Yeah. Now, if it was 2%, I would say that's not bad.
That's better. That's 2% above a recession, isn't it?
Right. And this is 2% on the economy of the size that it is pretty good.
Right. No question about. No. You and I have talked about that a lot, Joan. $13 trillion economy, 2%. That's pretty darn good.
We'd take it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Joan, I also predicted that there would be no recession in 2008.
That would
start in 2008.
Okay.
But I also predicted that it's possible that we're actually already in one.
Well, because sometimes they don't even know we're in one until long afterward.
I'm predicting that we won't even, if we're in one, we won't even know it till May when we're already out of it.
We're already out of it. So it would be a small, shallow recession.
That's basically what happened in 2000, 2001.
Right. Right.
Yeah, they're getting smaller and smaller. And that's the reason why I'm saying to my audience, so what? Just keep working. Just don't even worry about it.
Right.
Interest rates, Joan. You guys say that prime is going down.
6.75% by mid-2008.
Yep. That tracks pretty much with what I've been saying, that I've said that the Fed would actually cut rates 1.25 points, Joan. And
right.
So that by the end of the year, the prime rate will be, Fed funds rate will be 3%, prime rate will be 6%.
Okay, so you're a little more optimistic than we are, but not much.
Well, but we're pretty close to being pretty close. But no, exactly. And Joan, that's going to be good for the economy. That's going to help the economy.
Right.
But inflation, I like your inflation prediction.
Oh, you do?
Yes. You know why?
Because it's easing.
And it's also pretty close to what I said.
Oh.
Well,
again,
you know,
we must be right.
But here's the thing, Joan. You know, one thing we have to remember, and I think it's only fair to point out, you guys are probably talking about core inflation, which does not include energy and food.
Exactly.
And that's and in today's world, that's really not a good indicator to use, isn't it?
Well, that's right.
But that's what the Fed uses.
Yep.
So I think you know, in terms of all commodities, inflation is probably a little dangerous right now with the energy and food thing.
I think
Quick
so.
Break. Right back after these messages with Joan Pride. A lot more to come. A lot of good stuff. Stay with us.
You get around.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Lysingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me today. Joan Pride is our guest, and she's with the Kiplinger Editors. And, folks, I encourage you to go to their website, kiplinger.com. I'm emphasizing the letters here because even though I always say Kiplinger, which is the way most people pronounce it correctly, but there's a G in there, kiplinger.com, and that's an outstanding website where you can get lots of good stuff for free. But I also encourage you to subscribe to at least one of their publications. You got the weekly letter that Joan and I work off of every week, the Kiplinger letter, which has been around since 1923. And going to have an 85th anniversary, Joan, this year in September.
Can't believe it.
How about that?
Yeah.
And Joan was an original employee, ladies and gentlemen. And
hey, wait a minute.
And then of course, we got the biweeklies, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter, and a magazine. Right, Joan?
You bet. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Give us that phone number while you're up.
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And don't forget the 30-day free trial. And, folks, if you subscribe to any of these publications, you're going to be given access to the bowels of the website of Kiplinger, where you can get all the way back into the back and look around and use all the deep research that they do, all the great stuff that they do, all the meaty stuff, Joan, that gives rise to the little snippets in the letters.
Exactly.
So check that out, folks, at kiplinger.com. Joan, job growth is going to be down. I predicted that we would have 1.3 jobs, million jobs in 05. I mean, in 07, we had 1.5. I predicted that we would have less than a million in 08. What do you think?
And we're saying we'd have 1.1 million. So we're actually more optimistic than you are.
Yeah. And I'm afraid that million job. I hope you're right, because if you're right, I hope I missed my prediction.
Well, what do you base your prediction on? What's your thinking?
I just think on two things, Joan. I think the economy is going to be a little slower this year.
Okay.
And we're having trouble finding good people, Joan.
Well, that's true.
We could have created more jobs in the last 5 years if we had the people to do the jobs.
Right.
The economists on my show tell me that there may be as many as 2 million jobs going unfilled in America today.
Wow.
Because we can't find the people.
Wow.
So I base it on those two things.
Yeah.
Our crude oil is going up. I hope you're right about averaging above $78. I mean, I think you are right about that. But I don't think it's going to, Joan, I don't think it's going to be above 100 very much at all. But
well,
I
hope not. What is it right now?
Gonna,
I don't even know.
It's below 100, but
below 100, okay, because it spiked up to 100 at one point recently.
Yeah, and you know everybody, you know this deal in the Straits of Hormuz that we've been having the last couple of days, with the speedboats and our ships.
Yes.
Let me just say this, Joan. It ticks me off to hear these talking heads second guessing our men and women in the military. These folks, these people are professionally trained. They've got scenarios that you can't imagine that they've been told to deploy in any particular day. Those guys are so automatic. They've been trained within an inch of their lives. They did exactly what they should have done. And Joe, can you imagine where oil would be today if we'd blown those speedboats out of the water in the Straits of Hormuz?
Gosh, no.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
We'd be paying $150 a barrel for oil right now
That's right.
if they'd done that. And Joan, let's talk about proportionate use of power.
Right.
Why did, I mean, if a 4-year-old comes up and starts hitting me and threatening me, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to ignore him, right?
Yeah, you're not going to beat the you-know-what out of them.
Yeah, these are stupid little speedboats,
right,
that we could have done something about. I mean, discretion, when you're the big guy, discretion is the better part of valor, Joan.
Exactly.
I'm so proud of those guys for what they did, and I want people to leave them alone,
yeah,
and realize that there's more to this thing over there than whether, you know, I don't know. I really get irritated at people who've never been in the military saying they should have blown those people out of the water. What's wrong with them?
Right.
I heard somebody say yesterday, Joan, when we come back, we're going to decide. We're going to talk about whether those sailors did the right thing or the wrong thing.
Hey, I'm ready.
I'm sorry. I've been so irritated about this.
No,
I guess you can tell. Okay,
yeah,
crude oil is going to be high. We know that, but I don't think it's going to be above 100. Housing sales, Joan, are going to be down.
Falling more?
10%?
Falling 10%.
Ooh, I don't like that prediction.
No, I don't either.
That's opposite of mine.
Oh, what's yours?
I said it was going to recover by the end of the year.
Ooh, by the end of 2008.
Yeah.
So for
sales
the year, it would be up by how much?
Not up, but you guys say down 10%. I'm saying it's going to be trending
flat.
Upward. Sales and prices trending upward
okay.
by the end of the year. Retail sales growth is off 2.5% according to Kiplinger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So we got a challenging year ahead, but Joan, there are opportunities.
Sure,
there are opportunities in there too.
That's true. That's true.
Joan, let's move over and talk about some technology.
Okay.
On page 2, you guys got this thing called the Slifter.
The
mobile
Slifter.
Shopping.
I don't like the word. I think it's too hard.
It's a dumb word,
say.
Isn't it? It's like the pepper chipotle. I don't like that word either. Slifter. What is that?
Well, a small retailer can list up to 100 items for free on its system. And then roving shoppers, it's all based on a GPS system.
Yeah.
You access them by a GPS
Global positioning
network.
System. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then the Slifter shows you who's selling it. The Slifter.
So if you've got a GPS on your cell phone, which you can get these days, right?
Right. I think so.
And you say, and you tell Slifter, I need a lawnmower. Or I need a powder puff or whatever it is you need.
Slifter will say, drive over here 2 blocks away. They've got one.
They've got these there.
Yeah.
How about that, Joan?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can just see the women getting excited about this, Joan.
Not about lawnmowers.
You know, the professional, yeah, but maybe the powder puff or the mink coat, right, or whatever. Stand by quick, or the diamonds, right? Stand by. We're gonna be back in about a couple of minutes and. Wrap things up here with Joan Pride. Stay with us.
As I was walking down the street one day, a man came up.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, I want to move down to the bottom of page 3 quickly, and I want to get this out before, so we don't make sure we don't forget it. Get this little tidbit out, and then we'll come back to some other stuff. Bottom of page 3, you've got some important tax stuff from the IRS. Tell us about this.
Well, this is important. You know, you send your check to the IRS and figure, well, it's going to take them a while to cash it. I don't have to worry about it. But the IRS
the
is
float.
Actually... The float. The thank goodness for the float. I love the float. But the IRS is reducing the float on checks. And you've probably seen that already with utilities and other places where you mail checks. They turn them into electronic checks. So the minute they get them, it seems the money comes out of your account.
In October of 2004, I think it was, Joan, something called Check 21 came into being.
Right.
And that was the end of float with commercial banks and commercial organizations because you got no float. I mean,
you have is the amount of time from the time you mail it. And see, the IRS lets you. You're considered to have filed your taxes on time and paid taxes on time if you mail the check and the return by April 15th. It doesn't have to be in their hands.
But now
so
the day
you
they
have
get
a little
the,
bit of
the
a
check
till it gets there.
But now the day they get the check, they process it.
It used to take forever to process. It used to just take a couple of weeks. So you've really had a lot of time, but now you've got no time.
So what's your recommendation by Kiplinger?
Make sure the money's in your account when that check.
Don't want to bounce checks from the IRS. They get Joan. They get ill when you do
they
that.
They get a little,
They get a little grumpy.
They get cranky.
Yeah, get cranky when
they And you think they have enough other people sending checks, they shouldn't get cranky, but they do.
Well, here's something I think is funny, though, Joan. The marketplace has had Check 21 for over 3 years.
Oh, I know.
And so the IRS is just now getting Check 21.
Well, Jim, we could do it another whole hour discussing how bad the IRS's whole computer system is.
Yeah, and we don't even want to talk about the... And, of course, we actually do have some information here about just above this on the air travel. It's going to be worse this year. Of course, we're operating with, 30-year-old technology with the ATC, the air traffic control?
We say antiquated air traffic control system. So that doesn't sound good at all.
So, folks, so now that we know about the IRS, takes 3 years to get the Check 21 when small businesses have had it for 3 years, and the ATC is operating with 30-year-old technology, not all of it, but a lot of it is. So is this the kind of organization, Joan, we want running our national health care?
I'm beginning to wonder.
I'm not beginning to wonder. That ship for me sailed a long time. Yeah, that took me about 1.5 milliseconds to know that wasn't a good idea. Joan, let's see. Let's move over and talk about the Family Medical Leave Act on page 4.
Yes.
Let's talk about that a little bit. This is important. Go ahead.
Well, the Family Medical Leave Act, which I'm sure has created a lot of problems for employers over the years, is being expanded.
Tell us what the baseline is right now.
The baseline is I think you have to have a certain number of employees, and I don't remember how many that is. But if you're over, 10 or 15 employees or something like that?
Well, yeah.
Or is it 50?
No, it's 50, I think.
Okay,
it's
50.
It's 50 employees.
You have to give your employees, first of all, basically 12 weeks of unpaid leave for such things as the birth of a child or medical problem or things like that. But there's a lot of ins and outs.
You don't have to pay them, but they got to have a job when they come
back.
But
there's a lot of ins and outs to the FMLA. You know, that this leave can be taken in very tiny increments, which to me I think would drive employers up a wall.
But in some cases, though, it might be good, though, Joan. I mean, I might be able to do without somebody every other week, but maybe not 12 weeks in a row without having to hire somebody.
Well, that's true. And the other important thing to remember, though, is this is 12 weeks of unpaid leave. You don't have to pay them while they're off.
But you got to have a job for them.
But you also have to keep a position open for them.
Yep.
That's the other point.
And our buddy Ted Kennedy wants to make this number go below 50. He'd like to take it down 25. He's working hard on that.
Right.
But what's the difference now? Tell us again, what is the difference with the new program?
Well, if you're an immediate family member of a reservist or a National Guard member called to active duty, you are also qualified for 12 weeks unpaid leave.
And Joan, as much as I don't like the FMLA, I actually think this is probably a fair and a good adjustment amendment to this thing.
And another even more interesting one, this says workers caring for family members wounded during military duty get 26 weeks unpaid leave.
I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
If we've got to have an FMLA, let's make sure it works for everybody.
Right. And these are the folks who are really going to need it.
Exactly, and it's another reason why our government needs to have a more active duty in the military and not rely so much on the reservists.
That's right.
It's been one of my pet peeves. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jim.
I've missed you.
Next week?
Please.
Great.
See you then.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.